to hear from someone who has a bit more of a positive story to tell about the garment industry. Well, big name international and national fashion corporations continue to grapple with how to create safer and fairer workplace conditions for their offshore workers following disasters like the Bangladesh factory disaster. Here in Australia, local enterprise No Sweat Fashions has set out from the start to give refugee and migrant workers the skills and knowledge to avoid the pitfalls of sweatshop practices. It was conceived 2 years ago by Cindy Mitchell. She's the founder and CEO. No Sweat Fashions provides training and creates job opportunities in the garment industry for newly emerging migrant communities in Canberra, including Sri Lanka, Burma, and Afghanistan. At the end of May, the end of this month, the fruits of its migrant labour will be realised with the launch of its first commercial quality women's fashion collection for winter 2013. I have on the line Penina Huho. I hope that's correct. I'm sorry, Penina, if it's not. Are you there?
I'm there. Yeah, that's fine. You said it very well.
Oh, great. Penina is the organisation's creative director and she's chatting to us this morning. Thank you for joining us on the Monday Daily.
Thank you for having me.
Oh, you're most welcome. This must be an exciting time for No Sweat Fashions with the upcoming fashion collection launch. Can you tell us a little bit about this collection, how it's evolved and what kind of things we can expect?
Sure. Well, firstly, sorry, I just have to correct you. It's actually not going to be garments, women's garments. It's actually our first collection has been working on accessories, and that's been for several reasons. We've I guess while we're trying to launch a collection, we're also, our focus is always mentoring and making sure that we're supporting the women who are part of our program. And what's important to know is that we get people from all around the world who have a broad kind of experience level. So we have some people who've worked in Afghanistan as personal tailors and in quite a strong industry backgrounds for the last 16 years. And we have a few people from China and Japan. But then we also have several people who have just really taught themselves and have been really quite clever with making their own businesses, with making garments for people in, you know, refugee camps and things like that. So we started off with a huge kind of spectrum of skill level. And what we were trying to do is create a foundation of skill so we have, I guess, a base level of our participants. So in doing that, making garments is actually quite a complicated process. And we didn't want to crush the people who came in. We wanted to, everything we're doing is trying to support people to achieve, you know, personal goals. So the first collection that we're making is actually three products. And they're all based on collaborative design and collaborative processes, focusing on, I guess, the three ideas that No Sweat Fashions is really trying to bring through in our company, and the first one being collaborative design, which is one that we've actually brought in through discussions we had with our participants in our class. And so that's been something that the two designers that are on board, so one is Louisa Dismay, and her label is called Core Blimey, and the other is myself. I'm also a fashion designer, and my label is called Huho. And the three of us all work together within the class, just talking about ideas and what we needed to do. And through conversations, we're able to come up with a product called The Vessel. And it's quite a versatile piece that kind of works, I guess, on folding and folding techniques. So it can be, it's kind of, I guess, part of a lot of the work we've been doing in our production has been homewares type stuff. And so we've kind of explored this idea that No Sweat Fashion can also have a homewares section in our company. So that first piece has really been a collaborative piece. The second piece is a piece by Core Blimey, the Fold Wrap Pool, and that's a really large piece of cloth that can be worn in different ways. And we've had conversations with the people in our class, and we've come up with several different techniques, including the traditional Japanese folding technique to make a bag, and, you know, headscarves and scarves around the neck and tablecloth. So it's a really versatile piece. And the interesting part about that piece is actually that it's about process. And that's been the second focus of our collection is process. And each one of these scarves has a different motif that's been hand-painted on it. And the third is the Huho piece, which is focusing on textiles and the history and the importance that comes with textiles. And the Huho bag is actually called In Your Hands, and it's a small little bag made from East African Kanga fabric. And that's a little kind of versatile piece. So there's also, I guess, a running theme throughout the collection about versatility and people being able to add their own personal input into it. So not just collaborating within the studio, but also with the broader community.
Okay, that sounds very interesting. Can you tell us a bit more about how the program No Sweat Fashion actually works and how it prepares people for jobs in the industry?
Sure. So originally when we started off, the idea really was about there being these two isolated communities, and one being the refugee and migrant community coming to Canberra, and the second being actually fashion designers that were graduating from our local TAFE called CIT. And that, you know, there was a lack of, from, I guess, CIT graduating designers were finding that they didn't have that stepping stone before they got to production, say, in Melbourne and Sydney. They were making everything themselves. And what we were finding is that a lot of people were coming to this country with a skill that wasn't being acknowledged, and they didn't have any way of getting themselves into the industry. And also acknowledging that they were quite vulnerable in that kind of first step because they don't know English, they might not have the proper facilities at home, they're by themselves, and isolation is a problem. And realizing that these are actually just two sections in our community that just need to be brought together, and to try and create a environment where it's a professional working environment, but it's also working on inclusion and collaboration, for creative benefits of everybody. So how it works is we have participants who join our program. It's all free. Everything's provided for them. We've been really, really lucky to be given a very cheap space, rented space at Kaline High School, which is a local high school in Canberra. They're not using their sewing machines at the moment, so we've been using a lot of their sewing machines. We also have our industrial sewing machines there that we've been teaching people how to use. And we work together on products. CIT has actually come on board now and is teaching the Certificate 3 in clothing production. Again, this is all free, so we've been able to get special grants, and people can come by and get this education that helps them also bridge the gap towards further education if they want to follow it through. And designers come to us, and so we have a production side, and so there is paid work there. We pay all our workers above award wages. And so there is, I guess, that there's a studio space where people can come and work and learn, and also creative people can come and refine their designs with us. We have a really experienced pattern maker in our team who used to work in Japan, has also worked for Akira in Sydney, and now is in Canberra with a family. And she works with us, and we have several other people who are quite experienced who are also part of our program, who are kind of formalizing their learning. So that's, I guess, the nuts and bolts of how our studio works and what people come, how people can come and participate with us. Once we start a class, we don't take on any new participants until we finish the semester, and then we do it again. And new people who come through can start learning, and the people who have graduated come through into our production, and the people who don't quite get as far as they like can stay in production, can stay in the classroom for a little bit longer.
Okay, how big a problem is exploitation of workers like these in Australia, and what kind of advice do you give your trainees to avoid being exploited?
Look, I think depending on where you are in Australia and where what the fashion industry is like, it changes, but there definitely is an issue with people being taken advantage of. We often say that, you know, people have the misconception that sweatshops don't exist in Australia, and they actually do, but it's not in the same kind of large industry factory kind of setup. It's usually people being isolated at home, working long hours, not getting the correct kind of treatment and pay that they need. And a part of the biggest problem with this, not only that their, you know, human rights are being violated, it's the isolation. And so they're never really quite getting the chance to interact with community and broaden their skill and actually, you know, make a business or a career out of their skill that they have. I think a really important part of what No Sweat Fashions is trying to do is acknowledge that sewing is actually a really important skill that we're losing in Australia. And a lot of people are coming to this country with a skill that we should acknowledge and respect and try and embrace. And if it's not up to the standard that we need, nurture it in a way that people can grow and develop themselves and have pride in the skills that they come with. So getting back to the question, the fact that people are isolated, there has been a few laws changed recently, so people can't outwork, hire outworkers, which is usually people working from home. The problem with that is that small local designers, which is actually where I think a lot of fashion needs to come, it needs to kind of become slower, it needs to be a little bit more local and connecting with the community around it. Local designers then can't really get anybody to make their stuff unless they send it away from themselves. In places like Canberra, where we don't have a large fashion industry, it makes it very hard for emerging designers to be able to get their stuff made unless they're making it all themselves, which is not really realistic for a business to grow. So that's, I guess, the problem that's happening in Australia. What we're looking at is, I guess, making a connection between a workplace environment where people can work and, I guess, develop themselves, but also meet other people, maybe not even from the same ethnicity, and find people who have similar interests, have similar backgrounds, and are starting to kind of be connected to society, which is really important when somebody first comes to this country, is that they feel welcome and they are included, and they find people who have similar experiences to them.
That kind that feeds into my next question about how important and also how successful has the program been in breaking down cultural barriers and integrating people into the community?
Excuse me. It's been actually really quite surprising and really quite rewarding watching people grow. And it's really just been this idea of people getting together and slowly starting to have conversations with people. So, you know, we've been running our classes for about a year now. And obviously the first few classes, everybody sticks to their ethnicity kind of groups and backgrounds. And there's about four different languages being spoken in the classes, and they're in four different rooms, sections of the room, and not really intermingling. And slowly over a year, people have been talking to each other and collaborating and going to events outside of class. You know, we have a large Burmese community, and they are frequently on the weekends have social events and parties and barbecues. And they've been inviting everybody from our class to come and attend. And then other people from the Tamil community, you know, they've had events on, and they invite everybody else to come. And we get to see and spend time with each other outside of the classroom, which has been really, really wonderful. And also the pride in sharing their culture and sharing things that are important to them outside of work. And so the foundation has been sewing, and sewing has been the connecting part, you know, that's been bringing everybody together. But once people start to understand that there is a huge amount of connection and interest, you know, it's been very lovely to be seeing people start to get together and be connected and sharing their experience and sharing their cultures together. What's also been really lovely is also the designers. So people who are not coming from a refugee or migrant background have also started to be included in this process. And so I think that's a really important part of design, is that designers are also starting to really be connected to the people who are making their garments and people who can really contribute to their designs, not just from their technical background, but also through different kind of approaches to finishes and techniques, can be starting to collaborate into Australian design. Australia has always been a very multicultural country. Myself, I'm half African, half Australian. And so, you know, it's something that now our fashion will start to, I think, reflect the multicultural kind of place where we are right now. Not a very Anglo-Saxon kind of background, but actually we are really quite mixed, and especially in the fashion industry there are people from all over the world who are working within fashion here in Australia, and it would be really nice for that to really be an honest representation that I don't think at the moment is being reflected.
Okay, I'm sorry Panina, we're running out of time. Can you just tell me quickly what's next for No Sweat Fashions?
What's next is we'll have another collection launching, and this time it will be with garments. We will be continuing our program, and our next step really is focusing on sampling for local designers. So we're starting to really get quite a skilled group of people in our team, and starting to have that small step between, I guess, when people are prototyping their ideas to when they go to production, is to have some problem solving and some refinement happening here in Canberra for them. And so that's what we're focusing now, is really kind of having that sampling and refinement and collaborative design process happening here at home for people. So
that sounds very interesting. We're going to have to let you go, though. Sorry about that, but thank you very much for joining us, Penina Hua from No Sweat Fashions. Have a great day, and we will put that interview plus some more information about No Sweat Fashions up on our website, 2scr.com, and go to the Monday Daily page. Right now, I'll play another song for you. It's from Laura Marley, and it's called Master Hunter.